Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born." Say, "A child is born." "Unto us a son is given." So you can see here, the son, there's a distinction here, isn't there? He's saying that the child is born, but the son is not born, he's given. You see it? The child is born, and unto us a son is given. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and" what? "His name shall be called" what? "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now you can see, and you would agree, that the Son of God did not begin in the manger. The child was manifested in this latter times, but the Son was given. When was he given? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 19 and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. Talking about here, this is looking at the Christ, the Son of God. Let's look at verse 19 and 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot," look at verse 20, "who verily was foreordained," he was chosen, when? "Before the foundation of the world." So that was before he was born, wouldn't it? And what does it say? "But was manifest in these last times" for who? "For me," for you, for the world. The New Living Translation, I like this. It says, "God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake." So the child was born, but the son was given. Hallelujah. And I love this. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So, as we said, the child was born, the son was given, and in the giving of the gift of his son, God did what? He gave us life. Just some references, you don't need to turn there. John chapter 1 and verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." What life? This is eternal life. The Living Bible says eternal life is in him. Good News Translation, "The Word was the source of life." So when the Son was given, in him was life. Now, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A familiar chapter, talking about this church here that says that they were going to receive or put together an offering for this church. And it references Macedonia. But look at verses 14 and 15 in chapter 9. 14 and 15. And it says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, look at verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like the Living Bible says, thank God for his son. The son was given. Thank God for his son, his gift, too wonderful for words. You know, when we think about the son, sometimes we can't even express that in words. Sometimes we just have to pray in tongues because it's too wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. I like the Amplified. It says, now thanks be to God for his gift, precious beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible free gift. Hallelujah. Indescribable, inexpressible free gift. How many of us can reflect back when we first got born again? The joy, the excitement, was it inexpressible? Oh, for me it was. The heavy weight of life lifted the joy in my spirit. It was inexpressible. It was indescribable. For me, receiving him as my Savior. I'll tell you, some of us, we need to sometimes just reflect back on those early experiences that we had in the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's a gift so great, you can't express it. Yeah, it's priceless. Yeah, it is priceless. So Jesus is the heavenly gift. He's the heavenly gift. Turn over to Hebrews for a minute. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And look at verse 4. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of what? The heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we've tasted of the heavenly gift. Our Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll read this. You don't need to turn there. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, think about the woman at the woman of Samaria when she was at the well. What did Jesus say? He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, that's Zoe life, the God kind of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a precious gift. Beyond telling, it's what? It's indescribable, it's inexpressible, it's a free gift. It's free. What does that mean, free? You don't deserve it. You cannot earn it. And you can't pay it back. I mean, that's just three that I can think of. You didn't deserve this free gift. How many have received some kind of significant free gift? Did you earn it? If you earned it, then you worked for it. You were deserving of it. You paid something, and so you were a recipient of something that you worked for, right? This is something that we didn't deserve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. And we certainly cannot pay for it or pay back for the precious name of Jesus and the blood shed for us. Hallelujah. Now let's turn to John chapter 3 and let's look at verse 16. John chapter 3 and let's look at verse 16. John 3:16. The more, I'm going to say it this way. When we read the scriptures and we meditate on the word of God, scripture is not grasped with your understanding or your mentality. Because a lot of times we can go, yeah, I know that. But it is spiritually received. And how many have read a scripture that just exploded on the inside? Revelation, understanding, a knowing of who you are. What are the Ephesians prayer? It says that we would pray for a spirit of wisdom and understanding, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, so that what? We would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us. So when that revelation comes, I'll tell you, you better put a seatbelt on. Glory to God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I ought to just stop right there. Because he so loved the world. Right there, he did something that we didn't ask for. We were in sin, and he sent his son. You know, I was sharing something last year. I was looking at some notes. There was no prerequisite for that. Nothing. There was no prerequisite. You know how companies, you know, when we talk about free... You know, I think about it. How many are so used to it says free whatever it is, right? You look and you flip it over on the back and it says, yeah, free meal. Yeah, you got to buy their most expensive meal to get a free meal. So it ain't free. Buy one, get one. Yeah, uh-huh. Right. So really in the world, a lot of times there's a prerequisite to get something free. But this free gift is free. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. And it continues that he gave, this is how much he loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. That's how precious this gift was. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Listen to the Message translation. It says, this is how much God loved the world. Wow. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed, by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. I'm going to just present a thought here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, God is love. That's 1 John 4:8. So would you not, I'm just using some thought here. Holy Ghost thought, but it's thought. God is love. There's no greater than God. He is supreme. Therefore, his love is the greatest love that could ever be. Because he is. So his love is the greatest love. Would you not agree? So the greatest love that ever has been sent the greatest gift that we could ever receive. The greatest love that ever was and is sent the greatest gift to mankind. Would you not agree? He is the greatest gift from the greatest love. Hallelujah. So therefore, the greatest expression of love, or I could say it is the greatest expression of love that has ever been expressed. This gift that's been given. There is no greater love than God's love. Therefore, there's no greater gift than this gift that was given. The Son was given. No greater gift. That gift that was given. He gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. That's why when we ought not take that for granted. Every moment from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we need to give him praise. Because it's the greatest gift that's been ever given to us. No greater gift than this Jesus that's been given and the blood that was shed. No greater gift. Hallelujah. Now listen to this thought. The price that has been given for us and the gift that has been given to us establishes our worth. Think about that thought. What determines your worth? It's what was paid for you. So when the devil says you're not valuable, you turn, get right up in his face and say, but what was paid for me? What was paid for me was the Son. So I am valuable. I am loved. Why am I valuable? He died for me. So don't let the devil or anyone tell you you're not valuable. You know, today we hear so much stuff on the TV. It says this group is matter and this group's matter. All matter to God. Because the Son was given to all. And that gift is precious. It's what? It's indescribable. It's inexpressible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this, you could say here, we are the most loved that has ever been loved. We are the most loved. Why? God loved. He so loved the world. We're the most loved by God, who is love. Nobody greater than his love. Nothing greater than his love. So we're the most loved, the most valuable to him. Hallelujah. And he sent his best free gift. So we are valuable to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say that again. The greatest love that has ever been expressed gave the greatest gift that has ever been given to me. So we are the most loved that has ever been loved. Hallelujah. Or you could say, I am the most loved that has ever been loved. I'll tell you, when you're feeling down and you're feeling, as they say, having a bad day and a dumpy day or a blue day, you need to just get right up and say, I don't care how I feel. I am loved. I am the most loved by the one that loved me. And he sent the greatest gift, the greatest expression of love was expressed by sending his son for me. And I'm the most loved. Your wife can't love the husband anymore. The husband can't. They love each other, but they can't love like God loves. You are the most loved by the greatest love. Hallelujah. You know, this is one thing. I was reading this article recently about all of the, it was actually talking about the flood coming into the body of Christ of Muslims in the Middle East. They're flooding, they're flocking into the kingdom of God. And the reason they are is because of all of the atrocities and the lack of love. And when they get exposed to it, they can't take it anymore. They can't take the terror and the hate and the atrocities and the killing. And when they begin to hear that God loves them, and they start getting Bibles in their own language, and they start reading that there is a God that loves them and died for them, they begin to say, I want that God. Because they see the comparison. They can see, I don't want this. I've lived this. I don't want this anymore. I want peace. I want joy. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 for a minute. How wonderful is this gift? It's indescribable, and it is free. Romans chapter 5. And let's look at verse 15. Actually, I'm going to read this, sometimes reading it from the King James. Sometimes, unless you look at other translations, it can be a little difficult sometimes to understand. But the modern translations help. So Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, starting there, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one Adam, one man Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. So he begins to show a contrast between the offense or Adam's sin and, as it talks about in the King James, this free gift. In verse 16, it says, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. This free gift. What do we say? You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You can't pay it back. And it says, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. What's the key? The free gift is available, but we have to do what? You've got to receive it. This is where the world is today. The free gift is available, but there's a lot that won't receive it for a variety of reasons. So the free gift, as great as the free gift is, it's the greatest free gift that's ever been given to mankind. And that gift will have no value unless it's received by the one that it was sent for. It won't do any good, will it? I could set you free, but if you don't receive it, you're still incarcerated. Verse 18 in the New Living, it says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. He's drawn the comparison between the first Adam and the last. Hallelujah. So this free gift, the forgiveness of our sins, is what? A free gift. The cleansing of sin in our life, free gift by the blood of Jesus. Redemption or righteousness, free gift. Being made righteous and made right with God, free gift. Hallelujah. And think about what it says also in that scripture. It says, the authority and power we have in the name of Jesus to rule and reign in this life as priests and kings is a free gift. Hallelujah. Let me read this. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Let me read this also. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. This free gift. But we have to receive it. The Message translation, if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? He spared not his own son. So that means he did what? What does it say? He freely has given us all things. What? That pertain to life and godliness. So that means he freely gave us salvation. He freely gave us eternal life. He freely gave us healing. He freely gave us deliverance. He freely gave us prosperity. But it has to be received. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we say, I'm not worthy for that, then you're really doing despite to this free gift. Because the reality is, no, you're not worthy. But he said, I'm giving it to you. He said, I'm giving this free gift to you. If we were worthy, why would he need to send his son? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So that means everything that's good in your life, everything came from who? Came from God. But you've got to receive it. Think about what happened in Jesus' own ministry. Turn to John 1 and look at verse 10 and 11. John chapter 1. See, John chapter 1 and look at verse 10 and 11. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world, what? Knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So this free gift needs to be received. It's free. And it's precious. It's indescribable. It's inexpressible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's free. Now think about this. God is not going to override our will. It's a free gift. Think about that. If he could, wouldn't you think he would make all receive him? Because why? He is love, and he sent the greatest gift that could ever be given to mankind. Wouldn't you think if you could do that, you'd make everybody receive the greatest gift? You'd say, man, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. But when they go, no, he has to stand and watch. I'm sure, you know, God made us emotional beings. I believe God has a tear, and it bothers him that the greatest gift that he ever sent this world is being rejected. But thank God there's more coming to know him, there's more receiving him, and I believe that every person will have an opportunity to receive this free gift and know that it's free. I believe that. 1 John, I'm going to just read this. You don't need to turn there. 1 John 4 and verse 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God. See, this is scripture here. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. This is the greatest love that's been expressed right here. That we might live through him. The New Living Translation said in 1 John 4:9, it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. The greatest love was expressed by what? Sending his greatest gift to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Now turn over to Luke 18. Just look at this scripture as we kind of wrap up here. Luke 18 and verse 16. How do we become a good receiver? How do we receive? I'm going to show you right here in the scripture. I know there's all kinds of answers going up, but here's how you receive. Luke 18, look at verse 16 and 17. This is the King James. But Jesus called unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and do what? Forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 17. Verily I say unto you, who shall not receive the kingdom whosoever? That means me. That means you. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as what? A little child shall in no wise enter therein. I like this. The Message translation says, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Well, we could say it this way also. Unless you receive the finished work in the simplicity of a child, you'll never receive. Whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, it must be received with the simplicity of a little child. What do we mean by that? How many have children? How many at one point you remember the simplicity of that little child? You remember it. Now, you may not remember your simplicity. We may. But I think I have remembrances of being a child and opening up and the excitement. We all did. The excitement of Christmas morning. The excitement of receiving a gift, free. Now let me ask this question. When you got that gift, when you came running down looking for the gifts under the tree, did you stop and think, oh, I'm not worthy to get this? Mommy and Daddy worked so hard for this gift. No, you ripped that boy open and shouted and hollered and thanked and praised and shouted and ran out and wanted to play with your free gift. The simplicity of a little child. And what does the scripture say? The scripture says that if we do not receive and accept God's kingdom with the simplicity of a little child, you won't get in. We need to accept this free gift with the simplicity of a little child. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. Did those children, little children, when you got your gifts, did you deserve it? No, Mommy and Daddy decided to give you a gift. Did you earn it? Did you work for it? No, but you sure enjoyed it and you sure received it. Did you not? So God's showing us from Scripture that in order to receive, we need to receive with this kind of simplicity. And not kind of bring in all of your baggage. He already knows that. He already knows you've got baggage. We've all got baggage in various degrees. And we're growing in Christ. Yes, you've been made a new creature in Christ, but your mind is being renewed so that you can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But we need to accept what God has done with this simplicity of a little child. and just say, thank you, Lord. I know I didn't deserve it, but I receive it. I receive your blessings. I receive your anointing. I receive your goodness. I receive your grace. I receive your healing. I receive your deliverance in my life. I receive eternal life because you're good and it's free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Say it's free. Hallelujah. And I receive it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to just stop and think like little children when it comes to the blessings of God. Actually, we need to do it all the time. Not trying to figure it out all the time. Because what happens is, let's go back. I'm going to close with this thought. When we talk about receiving something with the simplicity of a little child, would you not agree that that's being spiritually minded? Yes, it is. I'll help those for those that are undecided. Yes, it is being spiritually minded. But when you're being carnally minded, you begin, it's death, and you begin to say, well, I'm not worthy. I didn't measure up to this. I messed up last week. And it brings death. It brings confusion. It brings darkness. And there's no peace and life in it. Let me read a scripture for you. Romans chapter 8. He said, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. When you've received him, you've received a spirit of adoption, you become like a little child. Let me ask this question. When you're a little child, do you question your right to be somewhere? No, you don't. You know you're supposed to be there. You belong. It's the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We belong to him. We have a right to be in his presence. We have a right to receive the free gift. It's free. Let's say this again. This free gift is indescribable. It's inexpressible. It's precious. And it's for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we complicate things, and we complicate it by bringing all of our life experiences in sometimes, and we darken the revelation of the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. I'm finished today, but as you go today and this week, purpose in your heart that you're going to think and receive the blessings of God with the simplicity of a little child. When you think about a little child, think about it again. When you say you're going to do something for that child, does that child get into all of the things that an adult thinks? Nope. They just say, yeah, exactly. Woohoo. we're going here, we're doing this. We're, mommy and daddy are buying me this. They don't think for one second that they acted up or cut up and they ain't getting what you told them. Do they? Nope. Not for one second. And even if a parent brings it up, they're like, yeah, right. I'm getting this, right? Usually that's the case. Yeah, I know you said that, but I'm focused on that free gift. That's what them little numbers do. I was a little number, I remember. And acted up a lot. And when I was told I'm getting something, I kind of just forgot about all of that. Unless it was brought up. You understand what I'm talking about? That's how we approach things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you that it brings light. It brings liberty and freedom to serve you and to enjoy this relationship and fellowship that we have. You love us so much and so dearly. And Father, we ask you to forgive us if we've not measured up, but we endeavor to think and to conduct ourselves with the simplicity of a little child. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless you, Father, today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.